Father God, thank you that we can call ourselves children of God. We put our faith and our trust in you. So Lord, we just pray this morning that you would be with us in all that takes place. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So this morning it's exciting as we get to come and dedicate Elliot. So in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome today Sam along with her family and friends who come to give thanks for the gift of baby Elliot, seeking God's blessing and help in the bringing up of their child. Jesus was presented by his parents at the temple. In turn, he took young children in his arms and he blessed them, celebrating the gift of life and the faithfulness of God. Family and friends will promise to help and support Sam and her children as they grow together. As members of this church, we will promise there will always be a place for children here. Then we'll ask God's blessing on Elliot and his siblings and pray for them. Pray for the church and the church's work with children and children in need throughout the world. Here we share joy over the gift of Elliot and praise God, the giver of life. Scripture calls us to see children as a sign of the kingdom of God. Elliot is a living sign that God welcomes us without condition, lavishing love and grace on all who come to him with empty hands and open hearts. Let's pray. Living Lord, you are the source of all life. No one is born and no one dies without your knowledge or outside of your love. We thank you for the birth of Elliot, for his life, and all the potential that rests in him. We also thank you for the love which brought him to life and which continues to surround him today. We know how much he depends on those who care for him, how frail he is, but we believe that you will give Sam and all the family and friends the wisdom, patience, and skills which they need. We thank you for all the gifts and talents which will be revealed in Elliot as he grows older, and present him to you now with all of our thanks and praise through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now hear these words from Scripture. From Mark's Gospel. Some people brought their children to Jesus so that he could bless them by placing his hand on them. But his disciples told the people to stop bothering him. When Jesus saw this, he became angry and said, "Let the children come to me. Do not try to stop them. People who are like these little children belong to the kingdom of God. I promise you that you cannot get into the kingdom of heaven unless you accept it the way a child does." Then Jesus took a child in his arms and blessed them by placing his hands on them. So in the pattern of Christ, we are going to look to do that this morning for Elliot. So I'm going to invite Sam and Elliot to come forwards, and Ivy and Declan and the godparents. So Sam, I'm going to ask you some promises first, and then we'll ask the godparents to make their promises. Before then, I ask the church here, who are regular, to make promises as well to this family. So Sam, do you thank God for the gift of your child? And do you accept the joys and responsibilities and the duties of parenthood?
Gladly, I do.
Will you try, with God's help, to share with Elliot an understanding of the Christian faith?
I will.
Do you promise to love and nurture your son through kindness, teaching him what it is to be kind, by respecting him, teaching him to respect, and valuing him, helping him to be all that he can be?
As much as I can, I will.
Do you promise to bring your son up, showing him the best you know, teaching him about truth and love and the possibilities of life?
As much as I can, I will.
What name have you given your son?
Elliot Charles Baker.
So Elliot Charles Baker, we greet you here among God's people in the name of the Lord Jesus. Godparents, this is your bit. So do you thank God for the gift of baby Elliot?
We do.
Will you, as godparents, offer your support and encouragement to Elliot and to his family?
We will.
Brilliant, thank you. For those who are part of the family or particularly involved with Elliot's life, so parents, grandparents, would you please stand now? Or other family friends who have come here today? And so will you, as far as it appropriates, sorry, let me tell you what you need to say after this. If you can say, as much as we can, we will. Will you, as far as it's possible, love and care for, honour and support this family and baby Elliot? Will you promise to surround them with all that is good and true? As much as we can, we will. Thank you. To those who are regular attenders here at this church, the congregation would stand. We can make promises on behalf of the church to this family. And if you will say, we will. Do you, members and friends of this church and representatives of the wider Church of God, promise that there will always be a place and a warm welcome for this family and baby Elliot in this church? And promise that there will always be a place for children here, and that you will play your part in bringing the children amongst us to the knowledge of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Thank you. You may sit down. Right. Turn to it first. So, Elliot, grow strong in the knowledge and love of God. We pray that one day you'll be a disciple of Jesus Christ, following him through the waters of baptism and in a life of faithful witness, bear the fruit of his Spirit, and live his great gift of love. So, Elliot, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace, now and always. Amen. Amen. And so now at this point, we welcome him into life of the church. So give him a bit of a clap. So, Elliot, we give you some gifts as a church. We give you a Bible that you may always know God's story of love and find his truth in it. We give you a book of prayers that you may know that you can talk to God who always hears. And we give you a candle to remind that Jesus is the light of the world. May you grow in his light one day and shine for him. So as we thank God for baby Elliot, we thank God too now for the siblings that will share his childhood. So Ivy and Declan, I'm going to pray for you now as well. So Declan James Baker and Ivy Lee Joyce Baker, you are both loved by a God who calls you by name. May you know the full love of God. May you journey with him following the path of Jesus and living in the freedom of his Holy Spirit. So, Declan and Ivy, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace this day and always. Amen. So may you as siblings together find in each other love, support, companionship and joy. And so for Declan and Ivy as well, we give you both a Bible, so that you may always know God's truth in your life. You may always know the story of his love in your life. Let's pray together. So faithful God, in faith and hope, we entrust to you these children's future lives as they stretch out before them. Protect them in moments of danger. Reassure them in moments of doubt. Strengthen them as they pass from childhood to their young adulthood and into their adult lives. Surround them with your love, expressed in the people who will care for them, and give them those with whom they can love and share that with. Bless the home of these children and help all the family to live together in love, the love that endures all things through Jesus Christ our Lord. And grant that when understanding comes, they may confess you as Lord and Saviour in the waters of baptism. Amen. We're now going to pray for the children of this church and in the wider world. So, Father God, we thank you that through your Son, Jesus, his death and resurrection, we have the right to be called children of God. We pray for the children who come through the doors of this church. May they know the love and grace that you offer. We pray for all those who give up their time to serve these children through the many groups and activities that seek to show the love and hospitality of your kingdom. May the gospel seeds they sow grow into a fruitful harvest. May this church be a place of fun, laughter, joy, and safety. And may the children and young people of this church surpass us in their love and passion for Jesus. We pray for the children in this world for whom childhood is not a happy time, where famine, war, and slavery stifle hope. We pray for freedom, peace, and wholeness, where abuse and cruelty bring a terrifying darkness. May the light of justice break forth. For those organizations and charities that seek to bring relief to the pain of children around the world, we pray blessing on them and pray their efforts will prosper. So God and Father of all, let your love shine in and through our lives. Amen. Amen. So this morning we're going to be looking at our final value that we've been looking at over the summer, our value of extravagant generosity. Alexander the Great, there's a story about him where they were going along the road and there's a beggar on the side of the road who said, "Please give me some copper coins. I have nothing at all. I need some copper coins." And Alexander the Great turned to the beggar and gave him some gold coins. And the official next to Alexander the Great said, "He just asked for some copper coins. Why would you give him some gold coins? They're worth so much more." And he said, "What the beggar needs is some brass coins. That might suit him. But gold coins suit Alexander the Great." What he was getting at was the point is actually for him, he lived his life wanting to be generous. He was saying, actually, in my world, I give gold coins, not brass coins, not copper coins. Extravagant generosity. This is a value that is at the core of the Christian faith. Extravagant generosity for us looks like this. Extravagant means to exceed all expectations and extend to unexpected measures. And generosity means extraordinary sharing, willing sacrifice, joyous giving out of love for God and our neighbour. That's what we're looking at when we look at this value of being generous, sharing what we have with others. And the reason why this is such an important value is because this is the heart of the Christian story. The Christian story is based upon one main word: grace. So what marks Christianity out different from other religions and faiths is the fact that other faiths say, if you do this, 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 and this, then you can get closer towards God. Whereas Christianity is saying, God has drawn close to you in Jesus. You have to do nothing apart from accept him in your life. That he gives you new life and new freedom, not by what you have to do, but because of what he has done for us. And so grace is a central thing of the Christian story. And what grace means is extravagant generosity, effectively. What it means is the fact that it's not just giving you what you need, it's giving you an abundance of what you didn't realize you could have. See, we often talk about the word mercy. Now, mercy is not giving someone something that they deserve. So if someone commits a crime and they don't go to prison for it, the judge might have shown leniency and shown mercy, saying, "I'm not going to punish you for the thing that you've done." That's mercy. What grace is saying, "I'm not going to hold that against you, and I'm going to give you something even greater than you had before." I want to tell us a little story this morning that shows this from the Old Testament about what God's grace is like. It's a story found in a book called 2 Kings, which is a history book in the Old Testament, and it's in chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. So let me just find that for us. So here's the story. The wife of a man from a company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditors have come to take my two boys as his slave." Elijah replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me what you have in your house." "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a little oil." Elijah said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you. Behind you and your sons. Pour oil into the jars and fill each of them. and put them aside. She left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. When all the jars had been filled, she said to her sons, "Bring me another one." But they replied, "There is no more jars left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on the rest." So we've got this story, and I thought I'd just do a visual illustration this morning, just to maybe help it stick in the mind. So in this story, you've got this widow whose husband's died, and because her husband's died, she has nothing left. She has no support, there's no benefit system to help her, and all she's got left is a little bit of oil. And what she's saying is, in order to pay the debts off that we have, I'm going to have to sell my two sons into slavery. They're living under a debt that they cannot pay. And the man of God turns up and does something miraculous for them. He says, "What do you have in your house?" And she says, "All I've got is a little bit of oil. That's all I've got left. I've just got some oil." That's all she had left. But what the man of God says, "Go and fetch as many things as you possibly can. Go and find as many jars as you possibly can. And then as you pour the oil out, just keep pouring." So after she poured out the first bit of oil, they brought another vessel. And so they poured out even more oil. And then they took another vessel and they poured out even more oil. And for as long as they had vessels to pour into, there was always more oil. And so they kept bringing more and more vessels, and there is even more oil. That suddenly their lack suddenly becomes a wealth of something because of what the man of God is able to do. And so yet again, they bring another vessel and there's just more and more and more, that whatever they seem to need, there seems to be provision for this. This is a story about extravagant generosity of what God can do in our lives. That God loves to bless us. God loves to be extravagant with generosity, and we call it grace. And so that there's always more and more and more and more for us to receive from God. It just kept pouring. It just kept going. You see, it's a silly little illustration, but it's just there to point out to you that God's grace, thank you, Shree. You want one big clap in the corner. Yes. But in this story, it's about extravagant generosity. And it looks like three things. First of all, there was a debt that couldn't be paid. And because of the debt that couldn't be paid, it meant that they were living in a place that took away their life. That her sons were going to be sold into slavery. Imagine a mother having your children taken away from you. The pain, the life that you'd feel has been lost because of that. They also take away their freedom because they're going to be sold into slavery. There's going to be no freedom there. That the debt that they've got means that they are not free to live, that there is no life for them. But then the man of God shows up on the scene and does something that suddenly changes the situation. The man of God turns up and he says, "Surrender what little you do have and watch what God can do for you." So they surrendered the little oil that they did have, and suddenly it became a great multitude of oil. And because of that, at the very end of the story, it says that Elijah says, "Go and pay off your debts and live on the rest." You see, it wasn't just enough oil to pay off the debt that they had. It was enough to pay off the debt, and then it was enough to live on. It was enough to live on. It wasn't just enough, it was an abundance that gave life. And the thing about generosity is that generosity leads to freedom. If you've ever experienced people's generosity in your own life, you'll know that you suddenly feel free to do something. Because suddenly you've got something you didn't have before. Suddenly you've got possibilities that weren't there before. See, generosity gives rise to freedom. It allows things to happen in your life. And it's what we call grace. See, grace isn't just enough. Grace is enough to live on for your whole life. It takes you from a place of being in debt where you have no life. And through surrendering our life to God, we are able to live a free life for the whole of eternity. It's an abundance. And that's the Christian message, is that all of us find ourselves living in a place where we've got a debt that we can't pay. We all do things that aren't right. We all do things that we know we probably shouldn't have done. And other faiths will tell you that if you do certain things, then maybe you can get towards God. What God says is, I love you regardless of what you've done. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a way for you to be in relationship with me regardless of all the bad things that have happened in your life. And what he does, he sends Jesus into the world, the man of God, into the world to come and show us how to live, but more importantly, to die on the cross for our sins, for all the stuff that we've done wrong, not to pay off the debt, but to allow us to live an abundant life of freedom. He didn't just do just enough. What he does enough to free us from our sin, to pay off the debt, but then actually to give us new life. And life in all its abundance, the Bible says. This is what grace is. It's this amazing story of hope and freedom that you can live in. Not living condemned and guilty, but living free and unashamed. Grace is incredible, and it is the antithesis of what the Christian faith is about. It is all about extravagant generosity of God's love in our life. You see, generosity is an action of liberation. What God does in being generous with his love in Jesus, by giving himself in our place, is he is bringing liberation through his action of generosity. And so when you are generous, you help bring liberation, you help bring freedom to people. When you give to a charity, you're doing something which is costing you something, but actually you're bringing liberation to someone else. You're bringing hope to someone else. You're bringing freedom to someone else. When you give someone who's in need a helping hand, whether that be with your time or your talent or your treasure, whatever that might look like, you're helping bring liberation and freedom into that moment where they feel, actually, I can't do this. Suddenly they feel they can do something. See, generosity brings liberation. And that's why generosity is so powerful, and it's something that each of us can look to do to help make the world a better place, a freer place, to help set people free. The Bible starts off with a story about a garden that God makes. And in this garden, he puts a man and a woman. And this story is kind of about kind of what human nature is all about, this story. It says that God gives humanity stewardship over the whole earth. He says, everything that you have, I've given you. You're called to steward it wisely and well. What God's saying is, I am extravagantly generous. I've given you the whole of creation, the whole of the world. I've given you everything that you have. I've given you your time, your talents, and your treasure. I've given it to you. How are you going to use it? Are you going to use it just for yourself? In a selfish way, and hoard it and have it for yourself so that you think you have some security in your life? Or actually, are you going to use it to steward the world, to bring liberation and freedom to people? What are you going to do with the things that you have? It hasn't just got to be finances and money. This is how you spend your time and how you give your talents. All of us can give something. All of us can be generous with something. But generosity leads to freedom. And what generosity is all about is about what's going on in your heart. Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you spend your whole life making your life about attaining more stuff, that's what your heart will be into. Your heart will just be directed about stuff. That'll be the thing that drives you in your life. I don't want to be driven by stuff. I want to be driven by something greater than that. I want to be driven by love. I want to be driven by friends and family and people who I love and care about. I want to do something that changes the world. I want that to be my heart. I don't want to be about just acquiring more stuff. But how you spend your time, your talents, and your treasure shows something about what you value, about what's going on in your heart. If you're thinking about the things that you spend your most of your money on, most of your time doing, how you give your talents, that's probably the thing that takes most of your heart space, most of your head space. So that's okay. But it's always worth just checking and say, actually, what's going on in my heart? Where is my treasure? Is it in the right place? Or actually, have I got off kilter? We need to bring that back into alignment. So it's about what's going on in your heart. And why this is important is because where you put your treasure and how you use your treasure shows who and what we trust. And if you're a Christian here this morning, you're not saying, actually, do I trust God that he is always generous, that he always gives enough, that there's enough to live on, regardless of whether I think there is or not, that God says he will provide for me in my life, that God says that. I've told these stories before, but I share them again just as examples. I had a situation when I was 18, and I wanted to go to Bible college. And I had no money whatsoever, absolutely no money at all. And I had to apply by the end of the week to go to Bible college. I had no money. I couldn't afford to go. But I felt God say, apply anyway. So I wrote my application form, and I went, okay, I've got 5 days before I need to go and post this, but I haven't got enough money for the deposit to go to college. And the next day, someone at church came up to me and said, I just need to give you this. God's just told me I need to give you this morning. I hadn't told them about what was going on. I opened the envelope, and it was exactly the right amount of money I needed to go to college for the deposit. I have to trust that actually God knows and God will provide. And when I know that God will provide, it then becomes much easier to be generous with my time, my talent, my treasure, because I know that he will provide enough. That whatever I give, he will meet me in that. And that he will provide enough. And so extravagant generosity is a great opportunity to experience how much God loves us by how much he'll provide for us. Another example of this. I was at Bible college, working for a church, earning no money at all. As a part-time youth worker. And I got to the point where I was exhausted and just went, I just need a break. But I had no money to go on holiday. And then, a few days later, a friend of mine said, oh, a friend's just dropped out of our holiday. Do you want to come with us? You haven't got to pay. Okay. You see, God knows what we need, and he will provide. It won't always look like those stories, but I've got loads of stories like that. But on the flip side of that, I tell you these stories not to try and make myself look good, but to give you examples of how this works. It's because I've seen God's generosity in my life and how he provides for me, I'm prepared to be generous with my resources to other people. I was at a wedding a couple of years ago, and I bumped into someone who I used to be the youth worker for, and that she was now married. And so Beth and James, and I was chatting to them, and chatting to them at the service, and then there was a break between there and the reception. And as I was driving between the church and the reception, I felt God say, you need to give them £300. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't want to give £300 away. He says, give them £300. So we had a bit of a wrestle in the car for a while, and I went, okay, God, I'll trust you in this. Went to the cash point, took out the cash, put it in an envelope, and I gave it to them. Didn't say what it was, I said, just need to give you this. Next day, I get a message from them saying, thank you so much for that money. Our car went in for MOT yesterday, and we couldn't afford the bill for the car. It was exactly £300. You see, I didn't tell you that to make myself look good. What I mean is the fact that those actions of obedience to be generous liberate people. They couldn't afford that, but they would put them into debt, which would then bind them, and that would not bring life. But because of generosity, it brings liberation to people. So when you're generous, what you're doing is setting people free. So it's not just being nice and kind, you are being an agent of liberation. You're freeing things up. You're freeing people. But what you're also doing by giving is you're putting your heart in a place that says, I trust that God is who he says he is, and he will do what he's promised. I trust that God is who he says he is, and he will do what he's promised in my life. And believe me, my life is full of stories like that. That as you start living by faith, if you are generous, generosity comes back to you. God will always meet your needs. But if you're always worrying about what you have, you'll never be able to experience generosity in your life. You'll never be able to receive from other people because it will always feel weird. Generosity gives liberation and freedom to people. So, if giving brings freedom, why should we give our money? If you want to listen to the message that I gave on this, on extravagant generosity last year, listen to that. It talks about tithing and why we do tithing as a church. But the principle ultimately of tithing is the idea if you give a proportion of your income every month or every week, depending on how you get paid, and you give a proportion of that away. The reason you do that isn't just because it's a nice thing to do, because what you're saying is, I trust God with all that I have. And if you want to grow as a spiritual practice in giving, which is a spiritual practice, Ron's going, oh, I did my tithe, that's fine, I can move on from that, I'm going to think about it anymore. The challenge to you this morning is saying, actually, why don't you trust God some more? Why don't you just say, actually, I'm going to just increase what I give currently by 1%. And just see whether God meets you in that. Maybe this morning you're not giving at all, if you're a Christian here this morning. That's fine. Could your 1% just be, I'm going to give 1%. Maybe here this morning you're giving 10%. Maybe you want to make it 11. Maybe you're giving more than that. Could you just increase it by 1% as an actual action of a spiritual discipline that you could do in your life to help you grow in generosity? Could you give a little bit more of your time to something that you're currently doing? That rather than leaving bang on the finishing time, you go, actually, I'll help and stay a little bit longer. Could you actually, I could help serve in this place because actually I've got a talent around doing this. I can welcome, I can make coffee, I can set the chairs out, I could do a sound desk, I could do some visuals. What is it that maybe you could do? Maybe your action this morning of generosity is saying, actually, what could I do to increase that? Say, actually, God, I want to show that my heart is in a place of saying, you're in control. Actually, if I give my time towards that, you will give me time elsewhere to do other things. So my encouragement to you this morning is grow by just taking another step forwards. It hasn't been a drastic thing, it could just be 1%. But do something this morning that just says, God, I want to trust you in the area of giving in my life. Because when you do that, you're bringing freedom to other people. And that's a powerful gift to give. Don't let your time, your talent, and your treasure become something that you hoard for yourself. Give it away freely. Jesus says, freely you have received. He's talking about grace. Now freely give. Every time we give, we are displaying the generosity God's given to us and we're sharing it with other people. So give generously. And if you want an understanding of how maybe to do your time, your talent, and your treasure, I look at the picture of Jesus and how Jesus did life. God gave Jesus into the world to come and save so that we could have life. So how I do my finances in my life? The first thing I do is I give. Say, actually, it's not mine, it belongs to God. The first thing that goes out of my bank account every month is my tithe and my offering. Next thing I do is I save. And then I live on the rest. Stewarding the things that I have by saying, first and foremost, God is in charge of all that I have. So I give away make sure my heart is in check with who God is. Secondly, I save to be a good steward of what I have. And thirdly, I live on the rest. Too many of us get our income, we live, we might possibly save if we've got time to, and then giving is our last thought. Make giving your first thought, and it will liberate your heart. And it will put your heart in a place where your treasure is not your money and your wealth. So give generously because it is grace. And when you give, it brings freedom to other people. What could you go away and do this morning to give more of your time, your talent, and your treasure to help set other people free? Because when you offer to serve just a little bit longer, to be somewhere a little bit longer, it means that someone else can leave early. It frees them to go and have more life and more time. When you offer to share your talents, it means it's spread across more people and it frees people up with more space and more time. When you financially give, what it does is it brings liberation to people. When you give to the life of this church, 5p of everything that is given here goes to BMS, Baptist World Mission. 5p goes to Baptist Home Mission to help support churches across the country, and 5P goes to Birmingham City Mission to help working across the city, people who are homeless, having people who need food banks, doing all sorts of different work across the city. Every pound that's given here, 15p goes to those causes. And on top of that, every month we seek to give away something more of our offering to different organisations. We are seeking here to be generous to what we do. What you're giving here also does is it allows all the things that happen. It allows toddler group to happen so that mums have got a place to come and share and find a safe place for their children to be. It helps run Boys Brigade so that boys have got somewhere to go and learn about how to do life. And Girls Brigade is similar. It allows climbers to happen. It allows this to happen. What you're giving is allowing people freedom in different ways. So my encouragement to you this morning is this. Live a life of extravagant generosity, and what you're doing is bringing liberation to the world. Give freely because you have freely received. Let's pray. So Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a generous God of grace. Thank you that you came to give your life for us, to save us so that we can have new life. So, Father God, I pray that for everyone here this morning, whether Christian or not, that, Lord, we would check our hearts about actually what are the things that we value. How are we investing our time, our talent, our treasure? And, Lord, I pray that you'd encourage us to grow in our faith, our trust of you, by stepping up a bit, by increasing something by just a percentage to start with, and see whether you will meet us in that place. Lord, thank you that you are always faithful and everything is yours to start with, and that you say you will care for us and look after us and always provide for our needs. So, Lord, encourage us in this action, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.